ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a special here at TonyBasilio.com. We look back to look ahead. It's a rewatch. A Tennessee Vol rewind. From the Raymier Studio, we take you back to March of 2000. It's the upstart Tennessee Volunteers, winners over southeastern Louisiana in round one, as they say in those parts, versus the defending national champion and mighty Connecticut Huskies. We're fixing, as they say in the trade, we're fixing to go down to the Birmingham Jefferson Civic Center and Convocation Center. I don't know. It just sounded good to say that. But we're fixing to go down to the Birmingham Jefferson Civic Center. And for our festivities today, I want to welcome in Matt J. Dixon along with Briny B. Hartman. Briny B. Hartman and Matt J. Dixon, are you gentlemen present and accounted for? Hello to both of you. Are you present and accounted for, yes or no?
I really miss HD.
You miss what?
HD.
Nope. You're really going to get on my nerves. Okay. Now, I'm going to tell you when to hit the tape, and we're going to hit the tape together, and we're going to watch this. And to those listening and watching around the world with us today, I would like to encourage you, if you get an opportunity, to call in and share with us your recollections of this game and this day. Now, let's set it up as a matter of fact and not fiction. That Tennessee this day, and Matt J. Dixon earlier in my Tony Basilio show reminded me, or was it Brian Hartman, that the Vols, when they took the court on this day, were looking to go into parts unknown. This Tennessee basketball team had never, this program, had never made the round of 16 in its current format as they took the floor this day. And Matt J. Dixon, as a matter of setting this game up, this looked to be like it was going to be a tough ask for the Vols to win this game.
Yeah, because UConn was the defending national champion.
Yes.
Tennessee got a really lucky break when Connecticut's star point guard, Khalid El-Amin, I think he injured his ankle.
Yes.
At the end of their first round game.
Yes.
And with a quick turnaround, he was nowhere near himself.
Yes.
And this UConn team had kind of struggled down the stretch. I think they were ranked in the top 10 all year.
Yes.
Until late February. So the team that was on the court against Tennessee was nowhere near a five seed that day, which was a great benefit to Tennessee. But Tennessee also played really, really well in this game and shot really well from three.
We're going to look at the game now. UConn 25-9 coming in, a 10-6 record in the Big East. You're defending national champion. Ranked in the top 10 most of the season. Lost four games in February. Another big game in the Big East tournament. But without star point guard Khalid El-Amin, who hurt his ankle in the final minute, Tennessee finally, after 190 years of college basketball, catches a freaking break, man. And finally, the Vols catch a break. All right, let's, without further ado, take you back to this day in Birmingham. And I'm going to do my dead level best. Brian's already pining for what he calls high definition, which I don't even know what that means. Because at this point, like an Alabama fan was screaming at me one day, and I was talking trash on them, and he said, all your highlights are in standard definition. And I thought, well, that kind of sucks. But that's kind of true. All right, let's, without further ado, that's not good. I got to turn the volume down. Mute this freaking thing. You're getting to see me in action here. I keep left-clicking when I mean the right-click. Okay, there it is. Finally. All right, in 3, 2, 1, we're going to hit the tape together. 3. Oh, you got to be kidding me. All right. 3. Okay, go to TonyBasilio.com. I'm going to give you 5 seconds. Here's what we're going to do today. We're going to talk about this game. And if you want to call in and share a recollection of this day, where you were, what you remember about the game, what you remember about that era, what you remember about that basketball team, a funny story you have, a funny story you don't have. If you already called the show today and you want to partake again, feel free. This is our time. There are no rules. The only rule today is that there are no rules. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to relax. And let's do. You want to hit the tape at home with us. Those of you that are watching this and listening to us on podcast form, go to TonyBasilio.com or go onto YouTube and look up Vols Beat UConn NCAA Tournament 2000. And to the person that uploaded this to YouTube, thank you. Because now communally, we will share this memory, and you've allowed us to communally share this memory in 3, 2, 1, and we are rolling. And we're now underway. UConn, Tennessee, a game broadcast on CBS, and who would have been doing this game as UConn shoots a brick early on? God, look at what a splendid athlete Isaiah Victor is, fellas. Are y'all kidding me? That's a great-looking athlete right there. Boy, that Tennessee team had some serious talent, did they not? And this is y'all's part to talk.
Did Tony go ahead, Matt.
No, you go ahead, Bronny. Go ahead.
I was going to say, Tony Harris sort of has a Marshall Henderson feel to him before Henderson because he could shoot you right into games and he could shoot you right out of them.
Love me some Tony Harris. Hate if you want, but I love me some Tony Harris. Absolutely love me some Tony Harris. And so we're underway. It's a 2-2 game early. And I was telling Matt, I love the camera angle with which this game is shot. It's like not shown the way the game is today. And there's some shake and bake. Who's that shooting that three ball from the side there? Who was that?
John Higgins.
Love me some John Higgins. Love John Higgins. Wow. A very quiet member of that basketball team. I love me some John Higgins.
Yeah, he didn't shoot a whole lot this year. And I think he still holds the single season three-point percentage record from this season. He made like 46 or 47% of his threes this year.
So my number's and 8. Yeah. Go ahead, Brian.
He hit a half court shot against Georgia Tech. Remember that one? In the Phillips Center?
Yeah, I was, backstory on that one. I was supposed to be at that game. And the reason I keep taking the camera off me a little bit here is because I don't want YouTube Live to pull the plug on us. But, so for those of you watching right now, you might want to get your own, screen. But, yes.
I tweeted the link out.
Very good, Matt. Thank you.
Can't miss action here.
This is can't miss now. All right, so let's talk about UConn coming into this game. That's a defending national champion the Vols are playing. Khalid Al-Amin in this game is out there, Matt, and he shows a lot of courage in being on the floor, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and he was a guy who, he was a little kind of overweight to begin with.
Yep.
Which is always fun to watch. So he didn't rely on speed a whole lot, which probably helped him a little bit, but he just couldn't go. And you know, we'll see. He just has a really, really bad game, just can't really get in the flow. And I think the backup point guard was a freshman who just couldn't run their offense like Elamine did.
Hey, Brian.
He looks like
– Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
Go, Brian.
He looks like someone who would struggle to do a suicide sprint, Elamine. Most point guards aren't built like he is.
No. There was another kid from that time period. I've always kind of liked fat basketball players. Boston College had a guy named John Bagley. He was fat.
You don't see him as point guards, though. They're usually post players.
Who was the point guard that played and led Michigan State to, I want to say, a national championship? Never played
Mateen Cleave.
Mateen Cleave's another one. Give it up for the fat, fluffy point guards. There's your boy Jake Voskal looking pretty athletic. You called a guy a scrub on the Daily Show today, Matt J. Dixon. Vols are up 5-4. 15 minutes left in the first half. 15:52, and the clock is running. And on the floor for the Vols right now, Matt, is?
We've got Tony Harris at point, yep. John Higgins and Vincent Yarbrough on the wings, and C.J. Black and Isaiah Victor in the post.
And there's Michael Hunt. No, that's not him. That's the coach that was up at Howard. Jerry Green's staff here would have been Chris Ferguson. Somebody help me
Byron
out.
Byron Samuels.
Byron Samuels, that's who that was. Eric Pauly. And Tad Boyle, who's now the head coach of Colorado. Tad Boyle was the coach on this basketball team. So Jerry Green had himself a pretty good brain trust. There's Smokey on the floor. Elamine's already out of the game. Boy, look how big he is, Matt. That's a big old fella now.
I'd hate to see him in the offseason.
What do you guys remember about this team? Brian, what do you remember about this Tennessee team?
They were the best team I'd ever seen play at Tennessee in my lifetime when they were at that moment in that year.
So up to that point, and we were all kind of thinking at this point in this game, get us through this game. Somehow get us through this game. I remember watching this thing. There's a Mourning playing in this game. Is he related to Alonzo Mourning? Does anybody remember? I noticed that myself. A big guy named Mourning who looks like Mourning. Spells his name the same way. There's a kid who looks like Jerry Colquitt on their bench. A lot of guys like Jerry Colquitt. Yeah, so this Tennessee team is wildly talented. Let's go back and reset the lineup. You got Tony Harris on the floor. That's Victor. Boy, what a great-looking athlete Isaiah Victor is. The way they're moving the ball. Who just shot the three there? It goes down.
Yarbrough.
And it went in for him. Boy, what a sweet player he was. Vincent Yarbrough had this property about him, and he had this way about him where he was so smooth-looking that he looked lazy doing what he was doing. But he wasn't lazy at all. He was just a really smooth athlete.
And kind of like Triple J.
Kind of like Triple J right now, yes.
Although I think Yarbrough is a little bit better athlete.
I would agree with that.
He doesn't look like he's aged, if you notice from his TV work.
Well,
Yarbrough.
Oprah Winfrey said it, Brian. Black don't crack. Deal with it, white people. Deal with it. C.J. Black with his patented three. It still makes me mad 20 years later that they wouldn't keep him from shooting threes.
So quickly in the shot clock.
Yeah,
The shot clock just jacked up.
And I love C.J. Black. Great guy. One of the dumbest players I've ever seen. I mean, why in the hell are you shooting a three ball there? What are you doing? Where's the game going, man?
One of the things that I've noticed.
And then you don't guard. There. What are you doing, man?
Well, Tony Harris was really good getting in transition, getting down court.
Yes.
But then they had no offense from that. They can never convert them in the points. They obviously had just didn't work on any transition offense because Harris was really quick and could get to the 3-point line or even the free throw line, but then he'd have to pick up his dribble or back it out. They never had any points in transition when they really should have. It should have been one of their strengths.
Jake Voskal commits a foul on Isaiah Victor.
And we're getting ready to have Don Slade check in, who's the sixth man off the bench. That's how talented this team was.
Memo to Jake Voskal. Neil Young has called, and he'd like his sideburns back. What kind of sideburns? 20 years ago, kids wear their hair like that? He looks like a damn refugee from Laurel Canyon back in the day. But, yeah, to your point, I mean, this Isaiah Victor guy, you talk about a splendid-looking athlete. And my contention is if a kid like that would have played at Kentucky. Uh-oh, here comes Slade Dog into the game, and the Vols are token pressing. God, look how skinny Ron Slay is there. A young Ron Slay. Look at that.
With a headband.
Fantastic. So at one point in this game, this is a round of 32 college basketball game, and Jerry Green is coaching there. I mean, this team is playing well. Now, Slay just had a guy make it. You don't see that shot in college basketball anymore. Somebody just made a turnaround 14-footer from the baseline over Ron Slay. That's a shot you do not see in college basketball anymore. Am I lying, guys? How many turnarounds from the baseline do you all see in modern basketball right now?
Not very many.
Yep. I mean, you just don't see it. That's a lost art.
Charles Hathaway out there, who's just a big body.
Is that Haislip I see in the game?
Is it Slip?
I mean, he's on the team and he plays. I don't know if he's out there right now. It's hard. It's just so hard to read numbers without the HD.
Yep.
The Slip and Bro show.
Slip and Bro. I think Slip came later,
watch,
Brian.
Watch this pass. Look, Slay bring the ball up court.
Look at that, Jay. God, Tony Harris draining the three ball, the little mighty mouse. I love back then how big the names were, too, on the back of the jerseys. I think our uniforms right there are as pretty as they ever were. Bang. Get you some. I love those uniforms. Am I the only one that loves those? Go ahead.
Well, just watch Slay right here. Watch this pass he makes. Behind the back, and then he dumps it. Just a great transition, and Harris didn't make the three, but this was one of those Ron Slay plays that was just a really, really good basketball play.
That's really pretty stuff right there, Matt J. Dixon, as we watch together. As it's there's 11 minutes to go in the game, and the action is fast and furious in this one. Tennessee still with only a 12-10 lead. So it's kind of a low-scoring basketball game to this point, but Tennessee's so freaking talented.
So, you don't see,
yeah,
you don't see players pull up and shoot that jumper in transition often much either.
No,
they're trying to get fouled, or they're thinking about dunking or making an impossible pass.
Yes, this is
instead of just going up and shooting a 10-footer.
This is conventional basketball that's being played here in this game. This is conventional basketball, and what you see here is. You see both teams, it's not a 3-point shooting contest, is the point. Let me flatten the screen, Laura, to get the
James Worthy, Dick Enberg.
Wow, look at that. Dick Enberg and Cole. Mr. Cole, James Worthy on the call. Wow.
How much do you think Khalid El-Amin weighs right now? Do you think he's probably 3 bills?
Well, considering he was about 200, 250 in this thing, there's a pretty good shot. Yeah, let's put it this way. He could probably stand to use the Kevin O'Neill backdoor slam, jam, bam.
Bro,
that was Isaiah Victor. Who threw the lob there?
I think it was Yarbrough who converted it. I think it was Harris Walker.
Wow. Okay, so
Woods.
The point about Harris Walker is in this game, this is Tennessee trying to get to the Sweet 16 for the first time in school history. On the floor together, at one point in this game, and we'll have to watch and see when it happens. Here's Tony Harris beating a man down the floor. Tony Harris was a hell of a player, you guys. He was a tough, tough player. You had on the floor Higgins, Harris, and Walker. You had Higgins, Harris. Brian's just you had Higgins, Harris, Walker, and Terrence Woods all on the floor at one time. Terrence Woods became an interesting footnote in Tennessee lore, Matt Dixon. And what was his footnote?
Well, he transferred to Florida A&M, and his junior and senior years, he had the most threes in the country of any player.
Yep.
A really, really good kind of spot-up shooter. And, you know, him and Walker, neither of them, I don't think either of them ever played for Buzz Peterson for different reasons. And I don't think Walker ever went anywhere else after this, unfortunately.
So we're going to go to the phones at 865-200-5402 and take your thoughts on the rewatch, maybe memories you have of this team, certain teams that were played that year, if you had a favorite player, if you had an encounter with a player. I'll tell you what, Tennessee's guarding hard here. They're playing really hard in this game. Their body language looks like they like a hungry basketball team. Look at Ron Slay as a freaking freshman. Gah! To this point, Tennessee's 3 of 9 from 3-point range, and Connecticut is an ice cold 0-4. And there's the man with two brains, and he dribbles it off his he dribbles it off his leg and out of bounds. I always thought that Charles Hathaway would have been a great wrestler back then, and I thought a great wrestler, because you could have had a gimmick where there was a man carrying around a brain in a jar, because you could literally look at the back of that guy's head and read what was on his mind. You could see his brain. He was the coolest look. He had the coolest cranium on him I've ever seen. I mean, you look at that steal. The Vols are in transition. They're beating the hell out of this team. Yes. 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 9:13 to go in the game. I hate to underscore this. Am I wrong to say those uniforms are really pretty? The way they're trimmed, the black. Am I the only one that feels that way? You guys are not popping for the uniforms. Who's that doing? Is that Spencer Tillman right there doing the sidelines?
It is.
And what's he doing here? He's showing something with his shoe. What's he doing? Oh, I think he's showing something about Khalid Al-Amin. Connecticut's in trouble in this game, Matt, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. Because, I mean, I think Tennessee probably would have won if Al-Amin was healthy.
Yes.
Because Tennessee just played really well. But, I mean, UConn had no chance in this one with him out.
I don't remember ever feeling stressed at any point beyond the 10-minute mark of the first half about worrying about if whether they were going to win or not, because it just felt like a game that they were in control of from this point forward.
And from 50,000 feet, Jerry Green to this point, this is year what for him, Bri? Three?
3 out of 4.
It's hard to believe that from this moment on, 12 months later, he would have been gone. No, it's not the baggy shorts that I'm talking about. People on Periscope watching along with us are asking me, as we record this, are asking me if it's the Periscope, if it's the baggy shorts. No, it's the jersey top. It's the way the uniform is outlined. I just think that's a nice uniform for Tennessee. And I love the big names on the back.
There it is. There's my stat.
Tennessee had never won more than one NCAA tournament game in any tournament coming into this game. Wow. Wow.
They had only been in like 4 or 5.
Yeah, and around the 64, they basically took some time off. Young freshman Ron Slay trying to do a little too much there. That's okay. I like you being aggressive on the offensive end. Go for it, man. Don't be afraid.
Just like Viscovi, when he showed up, he had a lot of turnovers, but he was at least creating.
Slay was never going to make a mistake being passive.
Yeah, I don't need you to be passive. We have enough passive folks in life. Any other thoughts thus far, guys, as you watch this one? Matt, we're over a quarter way through this one. Any other thoughts for us, Matt J?
No, not really. I mean, Tennessee's rebounding really well. UConn's not getting any second chance points, and it's fun to look back at these older games and see teams running offense that don't involve, you know, just continuing ball screens, which, you know, I just hate teams that run ball screen, that just ball screen you to death. So it's good to, I love watching these games to see teams actually running sets.
Yes.
So that was fun to watch.
Pretty basketball. It's a different game that's being played back then. I like the rhythm of this game better than the rhythm of today's game. But that's because I'm old. And so your staff back then for Tennessee would have been Michael Hunt, Craig McMillan, and Lawrence Frank. Craig McMillan, interesting. I knew I knew that name from somewhere. Craig McMillan, back to O'Neill's staff, not this staff, but Craig McMillan, and we were reminiscing about past teams. We would show an O'Neill game, but does any O'Neill basketball exist on YouTube, fellas?
I hope not. We have about 5 points at this juncture.
Have you been able to find it? Anybody been able to find it?
Kevin O'Neill games?
Yes. Any on YouTube?
There's a few of them.
We have got to do a rewatch next week. And I
think Bino will do that one.
7:30 left in the half. Tennessee shooting 40% from the field. Tennessee 3 of 9 from 3-point range. Tennessee owning this game thus far as they lead. Elamine has played 6:20 in the basketball game. No points, 0 of 1 from the floor, not a factor. And his team is in dire straits, and Mark Knopfler is nowhere in the building. If you want to jump in with us and enhance the watching experience for all of us, and you have a recollection about this ball club, my number is 865-200-5402. As we watch along with you in a game where at one point Tennessee throws 3 freshman guards on the floor, the winner of this game, was that Ron Slay with a block, a freshman Ron Slay? And does he have his, what numbers on his headband there? He's got 27 on his headband. What could that signify for Ron Slay? Briny boy, any idea what that's about?
Maybe his goal was to score 27 points.
Wow. It's a 17-15 game.
I think that was their first made three of the day for Connecticut.
Wow. You had referenced that Jake Voskal, the center for UConn, Matt, who's an absolute scrub out of a scrub. And UConn was one of those programs as well that got the shake from the NBA back then.
They're regal. They were regal.
They were
regal.
They were absolutely regal at this point. This was an 11, 12 year run for them.
They're not regal now, and they're out of the place in their conference.
Yes. Yeah, their whole deal's over.
They disappeared for 10 years.
Yeah, that they won the 2 national titles kind of unexpectedly.
Kimball Walker.
Yeah, Kimball Walker and then Shabazz Napier.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think they had went like 37-3 the previous year when they won it.
Yep.
And they beat a really good Duke team. And that team, I think they had Rip Hamilton, and he was kind of the only guy they lost, but I mean, he was their best player. But they were preseason number one to start this year, and, you know, were a top 10 team most of the year and then just kind of fell apart late. So it was a good draw for Tennessee too.
Is cheering for them to beat Duke the way I was the year before and then cheering so heartily against them this year.
Nature of the NCAA tournament. How about this? UConn's tied the game at 17. And you're thinking to yourself as a Tennessee fan, oh, man, here we go. We just squandered a lead. And North Carolina, guys, just played whom or is getting ready? We just nailed a 3-ball. Who hit that? That was a beautiful shot.
Yarbrough, I think. I think Yarbrough.
Yeah, Yarbrough and Harris were playing really well this game.
Was VYB a smooth player or what? We just forced to travel. This Tennessee team is playing their ass off in this game now. They are playing really hard in this basketball game. My man VYB, and he's claiming he was hit on the arm. Look at him.
Yeah, this was the best tournament game Tennessee played under Jerry Green was this one, by far.
So we're looking at the high water mark of the Jed Ball era. As who's that fouled right there? Is that Ron Higgins?
Higgins.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Incidentally, now the head basketball coach at Farragut. So he was at Central for many years. Higgins has stayed in our area. Tony Harris throws up an air ball there. Tony Harris playing really well in this half despite that sequence.
He got fouled, Tony.
Oh, did he get fouled on the play, Bri?
Oh, yeah.
One thing I've noticed is the Vols extended their pressure as Ron Slay rolls in one of his patented layups. Ron Slay had the softest hands. He could get the ball up on the glass, and the ball would roll in constantly for him. That's one thing I remember about Ron Slay from this era, and yet another mistake from a Connecticut guard. Tennessee starting to tighten it up on them at this point as it's now 22-17, and you've got a veteran coach over there. Boy, El Amin just got on the floor, Bri. That is one wide dude. He looks like a fullback, doesn't he, Bri?
Yeah, he's not. It's not every day you see a point guard that's his body type.
Do any of them exist today?
Jamont Gordon from Mississippi State was kind of that way.
Yes,
from Nashville.
Jamont Gordon, that's a very good stick.
There's not many of them. They are fun to watch, though.
They're great to watch. We all like a little something unique, right? I mean, kind of like fat quarterbacks. You know, quarterbacks and quarterback and point guards the same. You know, it's same
and
thing.
And usually, they're colorful personalities too.
Yes.
Now that Cleaves was very personal, was very colorful.
Very colorful. I like Mateen Cleaves. Great player. John Bagley, who I mentioned from Boston College, if you go look him up, that's a fat guard. Very colorful personality. Boy, you know, looking at that Jim Calhoun, that's a hell of a coach right there. What an absolute thug that guy was from start to finish if you look at his career. But boy, could he coach.
He's still coaching. You know, going back to what we talked about on the Daily Show about coaches, you know, losing their salaries and still coaching.
Yeah.
He's like coaching some like Division III school now up there in the Northeast. And I think they won their national championship either last year or the year before with Calhoun. I mean, he's still coaching now, and he's kind of basically been blackballed from the NCAA.
Man, Isaiah Victor, I'm going to tell you something. That's a great athlete. How in the world did that guy not get a shot in the NBA? They just caught a goaltend on him. I mean, that was really, really close. You know how that guy gets off the floor? What an athlete. Incredible. This is the day, and I remember it like it was yesterday on the Westwood One Radio Network, that a guy named Ty Shine beat my Temple Owls, who were on right before this game. Temple was a number one seed coming into this thing, and they got didn't get out of the second round.
This is the year where Kenyon Martin had the torn knee or whatever.
Wow. Amazing, Bri.
Their score just showed up.
So 2-1 seeds are down.
Two seeds lost same day, Temple and UConn.
Wow.
And North Carolina beat Stanford, who was the one seed in this region.
Who just hit a three ball for Tennessee? Was that Yarbrough again?
Yarbrough.
Boy, he's smooth as silk in this game.
Weren't there 2 8 seeds in the Final Four that year? I think Wisconsin was an 8 or 9 seed. They crashed the Final Four.
And Florida, well, I think Florida was a 5 and played in the title game.
And they needed a last second shot to beat, I think, Butler in the first round.
Yes.
So you're joining us. You're enjoying our rewatch here. We're reminiscing about tournaments past and enjoying today. Just helping you get through the time that we're in. Part of the special programming that we have for you here. As the immortal Edmund Sanders is on the line for UConn, where he converts a three-point play. There's 2:18 to play in the first half. Tennessee leading this one 25-20. And this is a Jerry Green history lesson that many of us don't want to take. As we record this today, if you're listening to our app, and we are live, it's a Tuesday afternoon. We've just done our show. If you have a recollection about the Jerry Green era, this basketball team, Jerry Green, what have you, maybe you had an encounter with him, or one of these players, my number, should you get in, is 865-200-5402. Again, 865-200-5402. Brian Hartman and Matt Dixon are both showing the wonderful range of memory that they have. I think I've had in my life too much aspartame and marijuana. Marijuana from the time I was 12 till about 20. Aspartame from the time I was 20 till about now. March Sadness, Tony Harris. They show a stat on him. In the postseason, he averaged 11 points a game. He didn't shoot the ball well, didn't play well up till this game. But he plays well in this game, Matt, doesn't he?
Yeah, he plays really well. This was his best season at Tennessee. You know, he started out the next year, his senior year, okay, and then, you know, had some off-the-field stuff in that injury and fight against Kentucky. And, you know, he just had a huge senior season slump. But he was really good as a junior. And this was probably Vincent Yarbrough's best year at Tennessee, too. And he was kind of just a role player. But he, you know, he couldn't draw attention like he did later in his career. So, you know, Harris and Yarbrough just played really well this season, and they do really well in this game specifically.
John Higgins, another smooth as silk player, nails a three ball. And John Higgins is a kind of a footnote as we talk about him, because he's going to go on and have a real nice career at Tennessee. And were it not for a quirky thing that happened with him in a math class, because he was a really good student, but I think he got behind in a class and his grade only here.
Too many.
Go ahead, Brian.
Advanced courses in the semester and didn't pass them all. He took a very rigorous course load, I think.
Only at this place could that happen.
Trying to do the academic thing right, and got punished for it.
And what happens at the University of Tennessee? Only here can it happen that...
Or advice, probably.
Because Tennessee was going to make the NCAA tournament in Buzz Peterson's second year, was it, Brian?
Yeah, I think. Maybe they were on the bubble.
Oh no! If John Higgins plays, they were going to make it. But he was ruled ineligible, and the Vols are moving the ball inside. Boy, that was a really pretty interior pass. That was from whom to whom, Brad? Somebody help me out. Who just made that really pretty interior?
It looked like Ron Slay. Ron Slay. When they ran the offense through Slay. You know, it was just really effective.
So the Vols have scored. They just ended that half on an 8-0 run, and they are up 10 at halftime. And they're literally ripping this team limb from limb. Limb from limb as the Vols are up. Now, Matt, do they cut this and go to the second half, or do they show the halftime festivities here?
No, it jumps to the second half pretty quickly. Okay. I don't even think they go to studio, or if they do, it's just to show highlights. So,
all right, let's see.
Whoever whoever uploads these has cut it and done a really good job and condensed it into, I mean, you can watch most of these games in like an hour and 15 minutes.
Yeah, it's really beautiful. And there's Jerry Green, and there's a guy that managed to win 20 games four times in a row. Is now at halftime, you see Greg Gumbel visiting with, Bri, who is that? Clark Kellogg, wow.
With hair.
Yeah, that was this is the Clark Kellogg that was just on the front end. That was before he started calling things the orange and having all these, like, pithy sayings for things. And now all of a sudden we're back from halftime. Greg Gumbel, eternally mediocre as a sports broadcaster, which is one thing I'd like to tackle is who some of our favorite sports broadcasters are and who some of the guys are who are eternally mediocre to bad, who continue to get work. But there's the thug himself being interviewed. And who's the thug, Matt Dixon?
Jim Calhoun.
Never met a player he wouldn't exploit. Go back and read the saga of the late, great Reggie Lewis for more, if you want more on that.
Yep.
Clean this mess up or else we'll all end up in jail. The test tube's in the scale. Just get it all out of here, as the old song went. So James Worthy and Dick Enberger doing this story. Dick Emberg, one of my favorite broadcasters of all time. I love Dick Emberg. Do you guys remember Dick Emberg, or are you both a little young for Dick Emberg?
No, I know who he was in the name, and I knew his voice, but I didn't really have any personal connection to him. That was a little before I got serious in the sports.
At the half, Connecticut at this point has eight turnovers and one assist, and they begin the second half how,
now,
Matt J.
Nine.
Dixon?
Nine That's
turnovers.
Nine turnovers, and El Amin didn't start the second half.
Yes. At this point, they're cooked. But Tennessee at this point is trying to go where they've never gone in the history of the school. And back then, if there's such a thing as texting and massive use of cell phones, fans are texting each other and they're going, is this really going to happen?
But who made that pass?
Who did make that pass? That's pretty right there. CJ Black to the foul line. Who made that pass, Matt?
I didn't see it. Either Harris or Yarbrough.
Really pretty, Brian. I'm telling you, our interior passing in this game is really, really, really beautiful. Really pretty. So the Vols are up 34-22 as Black misses the foul
shot. It's interesting he missed the free throw there, because in the first round game against Louisiana that Tennessee barely won, Black went 10 for 10 from the free throw line.
Wow.
And he was like a 68 or 69% shooter, and they needed every one of them, because that was like Tennessee came very close to losing that first round game. You know, that's a If you just an entertainment value, that game's a really, really good back-and-forth basketball game.
Hey, that Louisiana school right there has a history. Is that the Raging Cajuns they played?
Yes.
Yeah, they have a history. Ironically enough, there was a young man by the name of Trent Thompson that I went to school with at the University of Tennessee. I met him in Hess Hall. They lived in Versailles, Kentucky, and he chose to come to Tennessee, and I wonder whatever became of Trent. Trent, if you're out there, yoshi-ha-ha to you. Trent's father was a Hall of Fame basketball player down there with the Raging Cajuns out of the state of Kentucky. And they had quite the tradition. Yeah, they had quite the tradition back then. So Connecticut trying to stay in the game here. Khalid El Amin's just checked in. To this point in the game, he's only played 6:20 of the first half. And he's checking in 18 minutes to go in the ball game, and he's going to try to go again here. And if he can go and give Connecticut some decent minutes here, maybe they can get back in the game. Makes a nice pass there. See, guys like that, a guy like that, as he made a real nice pass on the block to Voskal. What's a 7-point game now? Tennessee is kind of letting this team, Bri, hang around. And at this point, you're thinking, man, we've never been at a Sweet 16. Uh-oh, this better not happen to us, Bri.
Yeah, but I mean, you just look the way Connecticut has played for the most part, and you can just tell Tennessee's athleticism was going to eventually wear them down and be able to make them get some separation in this game.
And what they did there is they got the ball on the block to whom, Matt, for the bucket?
It just seems like they could do whatever they want.
C.J. Black.
Yep, and it was easy. And Matt's point is this. When you see C.J. Black score so easily over Jake Voskal, Jake Voskal played how long in the NBA?
9 years.
Now, Tennessee in this game had an NBA player, too. Yarbrough's an NBA player. He played for a couple seasons.
Hayslip.
Hayslip, he didn't play in this game, though, did he?
I think he plays a little bit, but he's a freshman, and he's like the eighth or ninth guy on the bench. But he turned out he had a nice NBA career for a little bit.
See, this Tennessee team had the makings of a team that could have gone and could have played deep into the NCAA tournament. This team looks like a team that could have cut the Nets down. I mean, really. And that's not a stretch. Vincent Yarbrough came out of Cleveland, standing 6'7", 210, Cleveland, Tennessee. His brother, Del Baker, was on this team as well. He was drafted in the NBA draft in the second round, the 33rd overall pick. So he was right at the top of the second round by the Denver Nuggets. He played in the NBA with the Nuggets in the 2002-2003 season. And from there had a rather vagabond career in Europe. He played for Cecilia Messina, 2003-2004. He went on and played for Telundist Ustendi, 2004-2005. Then he went to Calabria. So he's on the Italian league there. Then he goes in 2006-2007 and plays for something called Bros Baskets. Then he ends up in Germany with EMBW Ludwigsburg, and then he plays two seasons in Bonn. By word is Bonn with the Telekom Baskets. He was a Parade All-American. With the Nuggets, he played 59 games. He averaged 7 points a game, 3 rebounds, 2 assists a game. But that was it. He only played one season for the Denver Nuggets. And Vincent,
I'm trying to envision Bob Kessling reading all those names off to us right now.
I'm sure he would have done a better job than I do. And Bob Kessling's cultured, and many of you probably don't know. Bob Kessling probably knows a lot of those teams because Bob Kessling has a sister who is a world-renowned opera singer. Which of you knew that?
I didn't.
I'm waiting.
Did not know. Did not know he had a sister.
Bob Kessling Bob Kessling comes from a musical family. Is Bob Kessling on the call in this game, fellas?
Yes, he was the radio voice then.
Okay.
This was his first season as the radio guy, play-by-play.
Our Vols are up 36-29. Brian, what do you think of the rewatch format that we're doing to kind of keep people a little bit of company and get them going through these times that we're living through in our country? Are you enjoying this, Brian?
It's a good memory to it's really like a Vols, not a Vols score, but a Gate 21 kind of.
Yep.
You're actually watching the game.
Yes. It's a really fun rewatch. Now, Connecticut in this game, let's see how many pros Connecticut has. Connecticut has Jake Voskal. Anybody else, Matt, from this team, even on their bench? Let's look at their roster. Let's look up Connecticut's basketball roster, because Tennessee had a as you just told me, I thought that Buzz Peterson recruited Slip. He inherited Slip?
He did inherit, yes.
Okay.
I think Kasich only played 1 year for Buzz. Didn't he get hurt? Kasich?
We'll have to look him up. Go ahead, Bry. Start clicking on your computer. Tell me about him.
I think Kasich didn't really do a whole lot until his final year. I think his junior year, he kind of blew up and was just a freak athlete.
Okay, Connecticut's roster that year was Bo Archibald, Justin Brown, Marcus Cox, Aju Dang, God bless you.
There he is.
Khalid El-Amin, Kevin Freeman, Albert Mourning, Stanley Ositi, Tony Robertson, Edmund Sanders, Jake Voskal, Brett Watson, Mike Woodward, and Doug Wren. So they had two NBA players. Did El-Amin play in the NBA? He would have played a little bit, right? Let's look. El-Amin was from Minneapolis, Minnesota. Wow, that's interesting. He was a second-round pick of the Chicago Bulls, and he played a season with the Bulls. Then he played overseas. That cat played. Are you ready for this, guys? That cat played till 2017, that fat dude.
Oh.
That fat dude was out there at 40. I'd give anything to see a video. By the way, Connecticut has cut this thing to 38-34, and a young Brian Hartman right now
El-Amin three.
Is sitting at home and saying to himself, ah, shit, El-Amin just made a three ball, and we're in big trouble and little Chinese. But what do the Vols come right back and do?
John Higgins.
John Higgins hits a big shot for the Vols, and he looks fired up. And the lead's back to 7, just like that. How about my man Khalid El-Amin, who played till the age of 38? Let's see what they listed him at. They listed him, Matt, at 5'10", okay, 200.
So he's 5'8", 220.
Yes.
And by the time he was done playing over there in Europe, he was probably 275. He was a 5'8 post player.
Poor Albert Mourning. I'm trying to click on him and see if he's related to the other Mourning. And I realize that his name is not Mourning. It's Mourning. M-O-U-R-I-N-G. So he is not
mourning after this game was over.
Well, his name's not mourning; it's mooring. He's missing an N.
He was mourning after the game, though.
I got you. Bo Archibald. Why is that name familiar to me? I don't know. Did this Dang kid play in the NBA? Aju Dang. No.
Luol Deng did.
He's Luol Deng's brother.
He's probably related.
He's Luol Deng's brother. And by the way, his father was a Sudanese politician, a high-ranking member of the Sudanese government. So he's one of those players from the Sudan. So there you go. He's from South Sudan. This is an interesting ball game right here. Tennessee's up 7, 12 minutes to play. And you know what I love about this Tennessee team offensively, guys? That today's basketball Vols could learn from watching this tape. They freaking attack the rim. Did you notice that, Matt, in doing the rewatch?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they have a bunch of kind of slasher guys who can get to the rim and finish. You know, one of the things about the rewatch that I kind of got really frustrated was watching all these players and knowing how tailor-made they would have been for Bruce Pearl's system. And
nice.
And how, you know, they could have really been really good defensively and caused a lot of turnovers. You know, Slay and Yarbrough have length, and you know, Tony Harris running Pearl's offense would have been a lot of fun. Just that up tempo, that's what I was so frustrated seeing all these guys and seeing how that talent just got wasted.
I mean, a freshman Ron Slay looks good out there on that court. That son of a gun could flat out play. Tennessee in this game, as they are 11:45 away and the clock is rolling with a 7-point lead and the ball. and they look absolutely hungry. They're attacking Connecticut like a pack of bees right now. Tennessee is just defeated coming into this game. Louisiana, as they say in the trade, Lafayette, a 13 seed. And Tennessee beat a team that had size and athleticism, according to Matt's scouting report. And Matt, that was a hell of a game, looking back on it, wasn't it? For Tennessee to get here, now they're, and all of a sudden we're watching this thing and we're thinking, we are thinking to ourselves, man, Ron Slay just, he's such a smart player.
You can't do that now as far as calling timeout, falling out of bounds.
Yeah, such a smart player. So a ball comes off at a wild angle. Slay had such great hands to grab the rebound. And as he's falling out of bounds, he calls timeout.
He just those hustle plays. He makes three or four of them a game.
Yep.
And then he'll make one or two really big energy plays that gets the rest of the team kind of the juices going. He was a real key for this team coming off the bench.
An absolute
all-time
winner.
Without him, they lose that first-round game. I think he scored 13 second-half points.
Yep. You're right. An absolute all-time winner. So the Vols are up 7. There's 11 minutes to play in the game. This game being played at the Birmingham Jefferson Civic Center, which I want to say, guys, no longer hosts games. It used to host games all the time back then, though.
They hosted in 2008 when Bruce Pearl took his team to the Sweet 16, the team that actually surpassed the broke this team's record as far as number of wins go. They ended up winning 31. That set a new school record. So both record-setting seasons for the Vols ended up with advancing to the Sweet 16 out of Birmingham, 2008.
The Birmingham Jefferson Civic Center seats 14,680 fans, and on this day, a ton of Tennessee fans were there to watch a team that had, under this current format, never been to the Sweet 16. I mean, we're about to see Tennessee, if they can pull this thing off, make some history. The sports complex that this team is playing in sits adjacent to the Sheridan and the Westin down in Birmingham. And
is that where SEC headquarters are, where they get to rent for $1 a year?
Yes. Yes, it's across the street from it. It's a walking distance. Here for the arena, the theater seating, they can put 19,000 people in there for a concert. They also have a 2,000 seat concert hall. They have a 1,000 seat theater in that complex, and then they have a forum theater for smaller events that seats 275, which is kind of interesting. So that's a venue that's been there for a pretty decent amount of time. It was the Birmingham Jefferson Civic Center from 76 through the time this game is played.
I think the SEC tourney used to be played there regularly.
Yes.
Years ago.
In fact,
Mike Sanderson.
In fact, Brian, when the tournament was resumed in 1979, Tennessee actually played. That's where they won the event when they swept Kentucky for the third time. Matt, that's a game we ought to watch on television. We ought to do a rewatch for that.
The 79 SEC
yes.
tournament?
Yes.
It's on YouTube. I
know.
I haven't watched it.
We ought to watch it.
There.
Those uniforms are sweet. That Tennessee team beats the hell out of Kentucky that day. That's next level. This is an interesting game here.
We should get Rodney Woods to join us during that rewatch.
Did Rodney?
Yes.
I think he was out of there. I think he missed it by 1 year.
Or someone he played.
Yeah, we ought to do that.
Yeah, you know, speaking of Kentucky, I need to go ahead and point out that for this season in 2000, Syracuse is actually the TGND national champion. because they knocked Kentucky out of the tournament in the second round. St. Bonaventure almost knocked Kentucky out in a 12-5 upset in the first round, but Kentucky pulled it out in overtime. But Syracuse knocked Kentucky out of the tournament in the second round, so they're my national champion for 2000, not Michigan State.
The Bonnies. The Bonnies. And Jake Voskal, future NBA, 10-year NBA player, with 9:15 to play in the basketball game, Matt, what just happened to him is he's getting absolutely worked.
What? Fourth foul.
He just picked up his fourth foul, and that goes with his 2 points.
Hey, I thought, Matt, that you were doing a little Basilio, kind of a little exaggeration, shall we say, earlier. That Jake Voskal got the hell beat out of him in this game. I mean, C.J. Watson, Ron Slay, and the man with two brains, they worked him over and over and over.
They either got a basket or got fouled on just about every time he was guarding somebody. I mean, that guy was – he had no chance.
So you're listening to a rewatch as we're watching Tennessee, 8:47 to play in the game. A rebound for the Vols. Tony Harris with the ball in front court. The Vols in absolute... Who is that?
Harris Walker.
Harris Walker with the basketball in the front court. The Vols in command. 10-point lead, but need some more. Trying to get to the Sweet 16 for the first time in school history, which is unbelievable. And they throw up kind of a circus shot at the end of a shot clock. That freaking Ron Slay as a freshman, did he look afraid out there to you guys as a freshman? Complete team leader as a freshman at this point. Complete team leader. Isn't that amazing, guys? His body language.
Never belong in the same sentence.
Do what now?
Afraid and Ron Slay never belong in the same sentence.
I mean, even as a freshman, he's out there on that court. Absolutely uninhibited.
Owning everything.
Owning. Everyone. I mean, what a pass. Who just made that pass?
Yarborough.
God, Yarborough. That was pretty. That's some pretty basketball right there.
It was 38-34. Connecticut hadn't scored in maybe 5 minutes.
So there, just a beautiful over-the-shoulder pass, like a no-look pass, down on the block. From VYB to C.J. Black, and C.J. Black coming off a 14-point effort again in the Tennessee's first game. And Matt Dixon, you said he was perfect from the foul line in that game?
Yeah, he was 10 for 10.
For Tennessee to get through to this round. So
yeah, I think they won by five.
Let the record show that he had a heroic performance in that game. And I love this Tennessee basketball team. I'm just going to say this for the record. This is a hell of a team right here. I'm glad we've looked back at this.
It's an 8-0 run to take a 12-point lead.
Look at our fans in that place. I mean, are you kidding me? Through the years, Bill Morgan was there. Wild Bill Morgan, Doug Voiles was there. Because they went out of my neighborhood. I saw them pull out that day. They said, "Do you want to go?" And I said, "No." Would a young Matt Dixon have been there if he could have gotten ambulatory at that point?
Yes.
You'd have made the 5-hour drive for a basketball game?
To see history, yeah. We went up to Louisville last year for that Purdue game.
Anthony drove there with a couple of his high school buddies.
I was there 8 years later when they advanced over Butler. They beat American and Butler.
You went down there, Rye?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Yep. You went to the Jefferson Civic Center?
Yep.
How was it, Bry?
Blake Griffin was there. So was St. Joe and Bill Martelli.
Nice.
Just to name a few. Before Blake Griffin really blew up.
What an absolutely beautiful turnaround baby hook from Ron Slay. I just can't even underscore enough how great he looks. Kansas and Duke are playing in an 8-1 matchup concurrent with this game. As Miami of Florida leads Ohio State. Bry, extra credit if you can name me one player that played on Ohio State on this weekend's slate of games.
Skinny Penn.
Skinny Penn, let me think. That was Jimmy the time Bowling Arena used to host games. You might be right. Did Slade just score? No, who put that ball in? Because the Vols are now leading 50-36, and this place is coming like a ghost town. Who just scored that basket there? We're going to come back and look at it. We're drawing it up on the diagram here. Boy, just a pretty back cut.
It was Walker.
It was Harris Walker, and he never even comes down. Yarbrough could really pass the ball, guys.
I think it was Higgins, wasn't it?
Was it Higgins? So pretty. Such pretty basketball.
Tennessee's second team could have held their own most nights against most people in this game.
I mean, our guard play in this game is fan-damn-tastic. That's what it is. This team looks like they could literally, watching them right here, this team looks like they could win it all. Matt, we've got to next week watch the North Carolina game. I got to go back and relive that with you, Matt.
One of my first cut checks from Tennessee Athletics.
Oh, and Brian Hartman. How young would Matt Dixon have been during that game? Matt J., how young would you have been?
I would have been 12.
Oh, yes. That's when it. Buddy, let me tell you something.
11.
Buddy, let me tell you something. An old wise man. And, Briny boy, you don't forget your first cup check, do you?
Especially one like that.
You just don't forget that, do you? Because
that's our car. This is the Gate 21. That'll be a Vols car.
A singer-songwriter by the name of Cat Stevens burst onto the scenes in December of 1967. And it was an honor of Matt Dixon. If we get to the next round, it's called The First Cut is the Deepest. Because when you get kicked in your nuts like that, you don't ever forget it. My first cut, Matt, I was 11 years old, Matt, for my first cut. And it was the fall of 1977. It was Black Friday. And I was recently listening to some Philadelphia talk radio as the Vols lead 52-38. And they were asking people there, what is your worst sports memory? Okay, you with me here? Like a show like that. What's your worst, the worst loss you ever endured, the worst sports memory you have? Which, you gotta love Philadelphia Talk Radio, because during coronavirus, which is like brutal, they're sitting there talking about it. Jake Voskel just got his shot blocked by Yarbrough. Not only did Jake Voskel get worked on the defensive end, he's getting worked on the offensive end. And Ron Slay is playing to the crowd. Look at him.
Slay's getting ready to have, I haven't noted, he's getting ready to have a really, really good pass to CJ Black.
The body language of this basketball team is just, I love this team. Brian, do you remember this team being this fun to watch before we watch this game?
Yeah, they were the best team I'd ever seen over there. By far, at that point. And then Bruce Pearl came along.
This is fun. I mean, this is so fun. Here we go. Look at Slay Dog. Goal!
Pass.
Goal! Ron Slay, I love you. I love you. I love you. He just made the most beautiful.
Tony Harris calling timeout for UConn.
Did Tony Harris call timeout for UConn?
So, yeah.
5 minutes to go in the game. The Vols are up 54-38. They're on about a 15-2 run right now, and they're blowing this team out. Tennessee has 13 assists to UConn's 3, And Connecticut, with Khalid Al-Amin in this game, is just sucking wind. I mean, they're just, they're in trouble. He hadn't been playing. We don't make up excuses, but he only played 14 minutes in the game. Tennessee still had to take advantage. Here's the thing, guys. With our tournament history, we've had teams that would have gone out and lost to a team without a Khalid Al-Amin. Am I lying? We would have done that plenty of times. We would have gone out there and lost this game.
Sometimes it takes some good fortune to do things you've never done before.
Yep. And as a Tennessee fan right now, and we're going to visit next week because we're going to stay with 2000 because I love these guys. Next week in our next podcast, Tennessee Rewind. From the Ray Mirror Studio, we're going to take you back and we're going to watch from the round of 16. And Brian, that game was played where in the round of 16? Let's see if Brian remembers this.
Was it in the Frank Irwin Events Center in Austin, Texas?
How in the hell? Is he right? Is he right, Matt?
Yes.
Gah! It's so ironic. In the house that Rick Barnes built. Was Barnes coaching at Texas yet?
First year there.
Oh, a young Rick Barnes, a handsome, smooth Rick Barnes. This Tennessee team, I just love. Are you kidding me? 3:50 to go in the game, up 54-40, gesticulating, having fun. It's all coming back to me now, Celine Dion. It's all coming back to me. There's the great Tony Harris with the crossover. Did Jake Voskal foul him or did the guard foul him?
I think the guard got him.
How good was Tony Harris? What year was Harris here?
Junior.
Junior, wow. So he looks every bit of a leader. What's weird, guys, is next year this team implodes. And I want to say that
mid-season.
They imploded mid-season because they started
16-1. Yeah.
Yep. In fact, they look like the best team in America the next year for a while. And they had a I would love to know the real story of what happened with that team.
And it was kind of like Butch Jones' 2016 season where they looked like they could beat anybody. And
a world beater.
Yeah. Able to beat nobody.
And then they couldn't beat anybody.
Yeah.
And who beat them in the NCAA tournament when Jed got fired?
Charlotte.
And it was
Butch Jones.
It was
or
Bobby.
Jerry Green.
It was Bobby Lutz who had that.
Yeah.
Who had that Adolf Hitler-looking mustache he wore. Like a member of the Third Reich, for crying out loud. Look at Tennessee just defend this team. This team is insanely good.
Jerry Green and Butch Jones never could get another job after getting fired here.
Wow.
And they both had degrees of success, too.
Jerry Green and whom, Bri?
Butch Jones.
Yes.
Are similar that they never could get another job as a head coach after this. Not even a high school would hire him.
Wow. This Jerry Green's an interesting story because that's a guy that won 20 games. We found that on the Daily Show today. 4 consecutive times. Had signature wins all 4 years. Had NCAA tournament success. Now, against Charlotte, did they get this team the following year get beat in the first round?
Yes.
And they had basically the same team, didn't they?
Yeah.
This entire team was back.
CJ Black.
Wow. Jerry Green, a graduate of UNC Asheville, actually coached Asheville from 80 through 88, then went to Oregon for 4 years. Got the job at Tennessee in 97, so had a 20-year college coaching career after getting popped in this game.
Coach of the year on CBSSports.com. The coach of the year.
This year, this game.
Yeah, this year.
Wow.
He never gets hired and getting fired a year later.
Wow, what a collection of talent this team is. Remarkable. So C.J. Black's a senior on this team. The Vols are now just running some clock. Man, I just don't remember Yarbrough being this good. He was fantastic in this game. Smooth, distributing the ball. He looks like Grant Hill out there. He really does.
I mean, this was the best game that him or Tony Harris played in any of these tournament games. I mean, they were at their peak this game. This is the, you know, there's so much good in this, but this team rarely played like this, which was kind of the issue for Jerry Green.
Absolutely incredible to think about. And Burt Bertelkamp was a member of that 79 team. That'd be fun if Bertelkamp would come watch that with us, but I bet he wouldn't because he's a member of the Vol Network. We could ask him, Bri, if he wants to fill a little time, because
yeah.
I'm sure he's sitting
Never
around.
Never hurts to ask.
Never hurts to ask.
He probably has time like the rest of us.
Yeah, he's got time. He's got time. Tennessee up 56-44 as our 2:30 to go in the game. They are getting ready to smell the Sweet 16. You can just feel it. Crowds on their feet, the Vol fans courtside, and C.J. Black lays it up and in, uncontested, and the lead is stretched out. And it's all over but the shouting. 2:04 to play in the game. How about Tennessee getting ready to easily send home the defending national champion? Pretty remarkable, guys, at this point.
And the bracket opened up for you as well.
Yes.
Because every lower-seeded team won in these games except for Tennessee.
Who were the other teams that won?
But North Carolina beat Stanford.
Wow, Mike Montgomery Stanford.
Miami beat Ohio State.
Wow.
And then Tulsa beat Cincinnati.
Wow. So the Vols are sitting there, and we'll talk all about that next week. Who was at the Sweet 16? Who the teams were? Because this Tennessee team played like an absolute Final Four team in the round of 32. Make no doubt about it. Make no mistake about it. They're now at 59-46. What a terrific effort from them on both ends of the floor. The energy in this game is just fantastic, how hard they played. You know what's sad, Brian? Through the years, having not gone back and watched them, my last taste of this team, meaning when Jed got fired, has colored through the years my impression of this team. Because they played their ass off in this game.
Well, you always said that Bruce Pearl in his first couple seasons was the funnest you've ever had as a basketball fan.
Yes.
I've heard you say that and others say that multiple times that lived through both of these eras. And
yes.
And I can see why, just given the way the Jerry Green tenure ended.
But
you were tired of the coach, despite the team.
Yes.
He had.
You know what's funny though? I don't remember this team playing this hard, which they did.
Well, this is the only time they did that.
Well, they did have games where they had stinkers, where they lost to teams they had no business. Vanderbilt beat them twice.
Vanderbilt beat this team twice?
Dan Lange.
Yeah.
This was the second year in a row where Tennessee won the SEC East and they were one and done in the SEC tournament both years as well. So they're just so inconsistent.
Yeah, they could look great like this, but yet there were nights where you were just mad. They'd leave you angry.
Yeah, that's one of the what I'm going to do at the end of this is kind of just compare all these eras. And you know, the one thing about Rick Barnes and where we are right now is his teams could have an off night, but they still were a pretty good team. Like they have a really high floor. You know, like last year's team or the year before. These Jerry Green teams could just lose to about anybody, and just they would have just awful nights.
Well, you know, the nature of college basketball is such that, you know, it's a sport. I mean, look at that team that Florida won a national championship. There were a couple years where Tennessee beat them twice. Right?
Tennessee beat them twice this year, and Florida plays for the title. They lose to Michigan State.
There you go.
And that was Tennessee beat that team twice.
This Tennessee team, that's fixing to move on. The great Jerry Green. Congratulations to all these guys. As they're at the end, Ron Slay putting a little, shall we say, cherry on top. Is that lead 65-46? They got that thing over 20 at one point. Wow.
I think that's the biggest lead right there at 19.
Oh, okay, yeah. I thought it was 40.
And then UConn hits a three at the buzzer.
Congratulations to this team that moves on. Vincent Yarbrough, Tony Harris, Ron Slay, Isaiah Victor, CJ Black, Marcus Hayslip, Terrence Woods, Del Baker, Harris Walker, Vegas Davis, Zach Turner, and Janice Grindstaff.
That's an ugly cheerleader right there.
For
Connecticut.
Brian, have you spent time in the Northeast? Because
I've seen prettier women than that in the Northeast.
I'm gonna quote my son when he's asked about it. No, I'm not going to go there. This is a very good basketball team, guys. Vincent Yarbrough, Tony Harris, Ron Slay, to Brian's point, Isaiah Victor, C.J. Black, John Higgins, Slip, Woods, Baker, Harris Walker, Hathaway, Vegas Davis, who I want to say came from a reservation somewhere.
Arizona. Parker, Arizona.
Look at Jerry Green pumping his fist in the air. I mean, Jerry Green's feeling it. Look at a young Bud Ford. Gah! Showing Sakowiak how it's done. Being accessible to the people.
We got the Rictology bracket going on now.
My God. It's the worst. So the Vols move on. They win. Mooring had 14. Who's that right there in studio? God, that guy's cool looking. Now we're over on ESPN News. Jed is now having a press conference. Let's listen into a little bit of Jed, and I'll let you guys just kind of hang out. Let me listen to a little Jed, and we'll do a little Jed's press conference here and have a little fun with Jed as the Vols win. I'll take you back, and here we go. Tennessee press conference for you.
The experience of that when you come in situation today.
Well, we've been forced.
Tony Harris.
The issue as far as playing 40 minutes of basketball, and so we didn't want to let up. We knew we had the lead in the first half, and so the big thing was we knew they were going to make a run coming out the second half, so we just wanted to jump on them early.
Question here in the back. Question for CJ. You know, the guards got a lot of attention in this matchup, too, but it seemed like you and your frontline teammates really took it to them today, and I thought that was one big difference, that your frontline outplayed Jake Vosko and their frontline.
Yes, I think our perimeter guys and our post guy had a great game today. We kept it even. We had a lot of good looks inside and outside, and we know when to go into the low post and when we should kick it out. And I think we did a great job of that. And every time we did that, we knocked down open baskets, or we got easy layups and dunks and short jumpers. So it was just an all-around great game for us today.
Question in front, Mike.
Yeah, each of you can take a shot at this if you want to. I'll start with you, CJ. You guys have had a lot of doubters.
Mike Strange.
But didn't think you'd be sitting here right now going on to Texas. How does it feel to play the game you played today under the circumstances? And how does it feel to just be moving on?
I think the game today wasn't really about us. Everybody doubted us, so it was easier for us to come out and play like we normally would play if we was playing at home or playing away. And we just went out and enjoyed ourselves and just gave it our best effort today.
Vincent, can you respond to that question, please?
Really, we're just happy to be moving on. I guess all week we've been, you know, we wanted to come out of this field and just go on to Austin.
Well, I feel the same. I think, you know, we worked hard, and, you know, it doesn't end here. I mean, we still got a long way to go, and we're still looking forward.
Question over here, sir.
Yeah, this is for any of the players. They seemed at times, especially when Colin wasn't on the floor, to be very confused, very tentative. Can you see it in their eyes that they were either almost playing scared or just very tentative?
What is that? No, I think they came out and played very well. It was tough for them not having their main primary score and outplaying with them with Alameed. And I think it was kind of tough for them to find somebody that could step up to fill those shoes. But there was a great team. They're defending champions, and we just came out and just had a very good game, and we won.
Here on the front, Ron. He's coming behind you.
Tony, you mentioned the defense was the key. Has that been the key for you this weekend here? Is that why you're going where you're going?
Yeah, that's going to be the key throughout. I mean, I think, you know, if we play good defense, our offense will come in regards to that. You know, we played great defense in the first half, and, you know, we got easy buckets from that. And so I think that's what we need to start the game off with.
Question in the back left here.
Vincent, how did it feel today having a tremendous support from the crowd coming, you know, several hours away to Birmingham? And how did it feel also winning this region as the Southeastern Conference was the host of this site?
It felt really good. You know, coming down here, we kind of felt that we were the home team because I think we're the closest. So, I mean, we really want to tip our hats to the fans for coming down and supporting us. Anytime you can get a good fan base, you know, you're going to have a good game.
Yes, sir. Question here.
Yeah, Tony, how efficient did this team play today offensively when you look at your low amount of turnovers, your assists, and the way you took the ball inside to them?
I think the key was our poise. I mean, we were real poised. I mean, whoever ran the point guard position, you know, calmed the team down and did what they were supposed to do. And so I think the guards really did a great job of, you know, calming the offense down and getting the right sets ran. And so I think we did a great job of that.
Question here on the front, Ron.
Yeah, Tony, how good is your team when it does make the extra pass on offense?
I mean, I think we're as good as we can be. I mean, you know, at certain times in the year, we always tend to rush shots and not get it inside. But I feel like if we take our time and swing the ball around the perimeter and look for a good shot and, you know, make defense work, we can get what we want.
Yes, sir, on the wing.
Tony, did you feel that without Elamine in the game, there was nobody on your kind who could penetrate by you? Did you feel without Elamine in the game, UConn had nobody that could penetrate into the lane?
I think Robinson did a great job. I mean, he got by me a couple of times, and so I think he did a great job of penetrating. You know, my main thing, I was just going to try to contain because I knew they had great guard play.
Yes, sir. Question on the wing front?
Yes, sir. Just wondering if you could comment a little bit about what's going through your minds when they cut it to four, I guess, early in the second half and things, that it seemed like you guys just, like, torqued it up a level and really went after them again. What was going through your minds?
Does anybody?
Who was that question for?
Any of the players.
Any of the players.
We knew that they was going to make that run sooner or later. We came in going into halftime with
Jerry. Jerry Green hasn't had a question asked to him. If you're scoring at home, moving left to right on your device,
we had to respect that and just stay comfortable and not lose our cool and just show a lot of maturity out there.
Final question for our student athletes on the front here.
Okay, for CJ. Tony talked about the defense earlier. In your mind, was this as solid a defensive effort for 40 minutes as you guys have had this year?
Yes, I think it is. And it will go up to number one and number two ranked upon all year for our defense. And it was just great. We had a lot of team defense. Everybody stepped up. We had a couple of lapses at times, but you have to expect that. And we recovered for that by making better plays and coming down the offense and knocking down open shots.
Thank you, gentlemen. You are excused, and we will now open up the floor for questions for Coach Green.
Ah, it's beautiful, man. Here we go.
Question in the front here.
All right, so Tennessee's first ever Sweet 16.
They dump out of Jed!
Now in second round games all time, UConn is sent packing from the NCAA tournament. Another final Big East team advance.
Well, I think anybody stupid enough to look past North Carolina is not very bright, and I know coaches aren't the most brilliant people in the world, but I think we'll worry about our next game before we look beyond
that. You
can
say that again.
We've got our hands full. They're playing awfully good right now.
Next question here to the back left, sir.
That's about along my lines of questioning. Back up to North Carolina, you mentioned your familiarity with Coach Gutt, but what about his team? What do you see from his team? They definitely turn it up from the regular season now into the postseason.
Well, they've been there, kind of like Connecticut. They've been there, done that before, and seeing them and their names in the Sweet 16 is not abnormal. It's probably more abnormal not to see them there. They've done it over the years so many, many times. But they're an excellent basketball team, and they're playing excellent basketball right now. Well coached, and I think Brandon is just a great player on the inside, and it's size that we don't see every day. From team in to team out throughout the country.
Yes, sir, here on the middle right.
Jerry, can you just put in perspective what this means to the program to finally get their second win and to beat the national champions to be in a Sweet 16?
Well, I don't know how many times Tennessee's done that. I understand they haven't done it much, so it is good to move on and see if we can get to that that third game and right on down the line. But, you know, I can't handle the critics. I'll let you guys do that. But we're trying as hard as we can.
Damn straight you can't handle the critics.
In that same line, do you think your guys have hit a comfort zone in the tournament now that they've gotten these first two out of the way?
I thought our feet were more on the floor in this one than it was in the first one. I thought we were a little antsy, and I thought we were more ready to go into a fist fight than we were to play good, crisp college basketball. But I thought we looked a lot more comfortable today than we did the first game.
Next question, Mike.
Jerry, in the first half, like you said, you all were, I think, six or seven possessions, shot the three, and then went away from it and started going inside and stayed going inside. What happened there to change?
Well, what was happening was we were in a double low, and then we tried a high-low look, and what they were doing was following that post in there almost to a point of playing it man-to-man. And what we were trying to do was get Vincent off on the baseline on the side where the post had come from, basically to try to get a little bit more open look. And then when we got to moving like that, high, low, low, high in the post and Vincent swinging through, I thought then we became a lot harder to guard.
Next question here on the right front, sir.
Jerry, what do you remember about working those summer camps at UNC during your days in Asheville?
Oh, no.
Well, Doug, I tell you, it's...
oh, no.
It was a group of people at that time when Bill Guthridge was the assistant and Eddie Fogler was the assistant and Roy Williams hadn't really gotten down there, but we would always do the same thing, York Larese, and we'd go out on Sunday night and we'd pick the All-NBA team and the All-ACC team, and then we'd go out and play golf every day as well as work from morning to, through night. And it was a group of guys that I always just enjoyed being around and with. And, of course, your idol is Coach Smith during that time and all the accomplishments he has done and how nice he is to everybody that he's associated with.
That's enough. Yeah, that guy cut that off. So the person that put that up, thank you to him. And you guys got a sense, we get ready to wrap up this this episode here, this special episode of the Tennessee Rewatch. You got a sense for why the guy got fired. Here he was after getting his team to the top of the mountain in school history. And Brian Hartman, he didn't even know the history of a school where he was coaching, which is really weird. And then he takes a shot at the critics and my critics, and that guy was just, that guy just didn't want to succeed. It was, I mean, think about a Bruce Pearl, or just my final thought, the way that team played, it was terrific. But think about like a Pearl, a Buzz Peterson, a Rick Barnes, a Conzo Martin, a Donnie Tindall, any coach that we had here after him, none of them would have been picking fights with the fans after a game like that. But he, that's why the guy got fired. I mean, obviously. And wasn't that interesting to hear the, I mean, I kind of went there as sort of a joke, but it was kind of illuminating to put a cap on the way they played. And I mean, literally less than 12 months later, literally less than 365 days from that game, they got fired. He got fired. Somebody jump in.
That's why he got fired.
Is that, do you guys not think that's just really interesting what we just heard?
Mm-hmm. But, you know, Bruce Pearl got fired a year after going to the Elite Eight, too. I mean, for different reasons, but yeah, we had to get rid of him suddenly, too.
And nobody wanted to get rid of him.
Yeah, this guy here.
Everybody wanted Jerry Green to come on.
I mean, Brian will tell you.
Something that's so weird is,
go ahead,
you know, they lose to North Carolina, and then the Bill Guthrie from North Carolina retires at the end of this year, at the end of the season. If Tennessee had beaten North Carolina, would they have hired Jerry Green to be their coach?
I don't know. If Jerry Green would have gone on and gone to the Final Four?
Yeah, because North Carolina Guthrie retired after this season.
Yes, he did.
If Tennessee had been the one to knock them out, I wonder if Jerry Green would have been in line for that North Carolina job.
Especially as stupid as they are.
Because, yeah,
with the hires.
They had to be from the...
And Jerry there...
Who did they hire between Guthridge and Roy Williams? Who was that guy?
Matt Daugherty.
Okay.
Who was a total weirdo.
He was a fucking disaster. Jerry Green couldn't have been much worse than that guy.
It's interesting to hear Jerry talk about Roy Williams there, because he even worked Roy Williams into an answer there. Like, he had just had this succession. I'm telling you, that's very interesting. Matt, that is really a great thought by you.
I bet they would have hired him.
If you're going to hire Matt Daugherty there, yes. I mean, because here's the thing. This is a great what if. Tennessee wins that game on that Friday night when they have a 7, and we're going to watch that next week. But if Tennessee wins that game, they are flat out, and I mean flat, put this in stone, they are flat out onto the Final Four, because they would have popped that Tulsa team. That Tulsa team beat them earlier in the year, and they were going to rip them apart. That's a really, really great question that Dixiecrat just asked. And guys, any other final thoughts here? Brian, that was a lot of fun. That was... We went well over 90 minutes today. I'm into my third and a half hour. It's 2:30 Eastern time, and I haven't eaten since like 8 o'clock this morning. So, anybody listening to us, if you'd like to leave us a tip, a little gratuity for us to keep the lights on right now, during this time where it's been very difficult sponsor-wise. And please don't do that if you've lost your employment or you've had your employment abated at this time. I don't want to take any money from your family. For those of you that are still up and running or those of you that are well off and feel led to help us out, please do so. To the rest of you, please keep your money in your pockets. Any other final thoughts? Brian, I'll go with you first, then Matt.
Well, it's just it's nice to have a little, to have a diversion where we can relive something, especially a good memory like that, in as opposed to dealing with the real world issue that's going on right now.
Yep. Yes. And it's getting immersed in that too. Kind of took me away into that.
Nice break.
Yeah, and to our callers, next week we'll work you guys in. I'm just very sorry. We just kind of got going in the flow there. We'll get callers in next week. So as you listen to this, think about this ball club, your memories of the ball club. We just couldn't get callers in. Matt Dixon on the way out.
It's fun to rewatch these and rewatch them with other people and the different perspectives we have now and, you know, what we thought then versus now and how we look back and remember these teams. It's been fun for me because these were teams from my childhood and I've, you know, watched games much differently now. I'm a lot more intense and analyze and study a lot and really work on, like, look at, you know, strategy and all that versus back then it was just who's scoring and let's try to just outscore these guys. So, but these are fun to do. And it's a good distraction. And this game today was probably the high mark of the Jerry Green era at Tennessee. But it was just a great win at the time. One of the best wins in school history, probably at the time.
Tennessee basketball team that had lost three of their last six games coming into the NCAA tournament, including a really ugly loss to South Carolina, 75-68 game. Tennessee has now won two in a row for the first time in the modern era, finds themselves now in the Sweet 16. Sunday, March 19th, that, my friends, of 2000 is how it was as the Vols defeat defending national champion Connecticut 65-51. A Friday night, March 24th, 5 days later, date down in Texas on the campus of the University of Texas awaits the Volunteers where they will face North Carolina. The Vols will bring a 26-6 record into that game. And we're going to watch it with you next week right here as part of our new podcast that we're calling Watch Party. I want to thank you for listening to Watch Party. That name just came to me. What do you guys think of that name? Tennessee Watch Party. What do you guys think of that name?
It's good. Really good.
Thank you.
Virtual Watch Party.
Tennessee Watch Party. Till we meet again, for Brian Hartman, for TGMD, this is Tony Basilio congratulating the Volunteers on defeating Connecticut and saying come back next time and we'll do it all over again on Watch Party.